మిలితంజేన తస్మై శ్రీగురువే నమః. శ్రీచైతన్యమనోభీష్టం స్థాపితం జేన భూతలే స్వయం రూపకదా మహ్యం దదాతి స్వపదాంతికం. వందేహం శ్రీగురుః శ్రీయుతాపదకమలం శ్రీగురున్ వైష్ణవాంశ్చ శ్రీరూపం సాగరజాతం సహగణా రఘునాథాన్వితాం తం సజీవం సాద్వైతం సావధూతం పరిజనసహితం కృష్ణచైతన్యదేవం శ్రీరాధాకృష్ణపాదాన్ సహగణా లలితా శ్రీవిశాఖాన్వితాంశ్చ. హే కృష్ణ కరుణా సింధో దీనబంధో జగత్పతే గోపేశ గోపికాకాంత రాధాకాంత నమస్తుతే. తప్త కాంచన గౌరాంగీ రాధే వృందావనేశ్వరీ వృషభానుసతే దేవీ ప్రణమామి శ్రీహరిప్రియే. వాంఛాకల్పతరుభ్యశ్చ కృపాసింధుభ్య ఏవ చ పతితానాం పావనేభ్యో వైష్ణవేభ్యో నమో నమః. జయ శ్రీకృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధార శ్రీవాసాది గౌర భక్తవృంద. హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే హరే, హరే రామ 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 హరే హరే. ఓం అపవిత్ర పవిత్ర వా సర్వావస్థాం గతోపి వా యః స్మరేత్ పుండరీకాక్షం స బాహ్యాభ్యంతర శుచి. శ్రీ విష్ణు శ్రీ విష్ణు శ్రీ విష్ణు. ప్యూరిఫైడ్ ఆర్ అన్ప్యూరిఫైడ్ ఇన్ విచ్ ఎవర్ స్టేట్ వన్ పాసెస్ త్రూ, బట్ ఇఫ్ హీ అటర్స్ ద హోలీ నేమ్ ఆఫ్ లార్డ్ విష్ణు 3 times, హీ ఈజ్ కన్సిడర్డ్ టు బి ప్యూరిఫైడ్ ఇన్ సైడ్ అండ్ అవుట్, విదిన్ అండ్ విదౌట్. So we derive the potency of the Lord through His holy name. This is the determination in the initial aspect that we proceed from, that determination and develop the manifestation of the Lord. So at the end also the holy name, which is identical to the Lord, will become a very steadfast, anchored within our heart to derive all the spiritual potency, the consciousness pertaining to that, and make our life successful in service of Him. So the idea is that we start purification, the holy name is purifying, but at the same time it gives the it is the source of all the energies, all the potencies also. The Lord is potential, so the holy name is potential, and the identical situation gives us the premise to work upon by our personal sadhana endeavor or a regulated form in order to become totally absorbed in the service of the Holy Name. So whatever is being going to be manifesting, it is not through our endeavor but through our mood of service to the Holy Name. So if the Holy Name is alone is so important, then we have to contemplate on the significance of the Holy Name. In Kali Yuga there are disqualifications. Kalau Dosha Nidhi Rajan. Dosha Nidhi means it's unsurmountable ocean of faults. On our own we have no potency, no even knowledgeability how to cross over. What is the question of potency? A person under the spell of Maya can think himself that he can cross over, or he can do whatever he likes, or he can create his own destiny. But we see the limitedness of an insignificant jiva, and the vastness of eternity is laughable. We are reminded that we have to be at least humble in order to accept our insignificance. So an insignificant jiva has to rely upon the significance of the holy name. Should invest faith, adav shraddha, tato sadhu sangha, atha bhajana kriya. So this ceremony is to regulate the bhajana kriya, the third steps. One has to become regulated in his sankalpa. So today the candidates are taking that vow of regulations. There are two kinds of regulations. One, Bhagavata regulations are based on the promise of chanting 16 rounds, and other regulations are based on the principle of liberations, that are the four regulative principles. Because after all, bhakti is going to start in actual sense only after liberation. Krishna says, Brahma Bhuta Prasannatma na Soshati na Kangshati Samat Sarveshu Bhuteshu Mad Bhaktim Labate Param. So, Parabhakti or the actual bhakti, and bhakti is considered to be actual in its spontaneous response to the call of the Lord, and how to get set and go without any inhibition. But that is the climax of, or the maturity of bhakti. And that requires expertise of the associates of Lord Shri Krishna directly. We are establishing today the sambandha. So, the jnana or the knowledge regarding the relationship with the Lord has to be explained. Abhideya is by regulation of chanting 16 rounds minimum. That is the abhideya. This is the process to sustain that relationship. And the ultimate aim of the final product, not byproduct, but the final product, is the love of God. And that is only achievable on the spontaneous level. So, we gradually grow by our commitment, our availability to the holy name. So, we are trying to put up a service attitude to the holy name. This is Sankirtan movement, and it is based on chanting Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave us this specific term, Yajnaihi Sankirtana Prahai. Yajna means it's a sacrifice, and congregational sacrifice. Other day we were discussing about that in every Kali Yuga, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu does not appear because it's a special concession in this particular Yuga, because Krishna also appeared once in a day of Brahma. But it doesn't mean that holy name was not available in other Kali Yugas. Somewhere in Lagu Bhagavatamrita, Rupa Goswami says that in other Kali Yuga, other form of incarnations come and they give holy name. After all, in Satya Yuga, holy name was received after proper purification of through the austerities, Kriti Dhyayato Vishnu and meditation. Tritayam Yajato Makhai, in Treta Yuga, it was available, the purification was available through conducting the fire sacrifice. Right? in proper way. And in Dwapara Yug is Paricharya, the purification through profuse donation, charitable activity in center around Vishnu and Lakshmi or Lakshmi Narayan's worship in big, big temples. But Kali, by nature, it is ocean of faults. There are no qualification of yajna, dana, tapakriya, are totally absent, or they will not be conducive to purify person properly. They are meritorious in their ages, but here in Kali Yuga, kalau dosha nidhe rajan, asti eko mahatguna, and that is not an audience. Kirtanad eva krishnasya mukta sangam param rajet. Only chanting the holy name of Lord Krishna, eva, not other, mukta sangam param rajet. Of course, the potency of Lord Krishna is also there in other expansions like avatars, and chanting their name we can produce. But at the same time, direct name of Krishna is the more potential than anything else. So that is the recommendation, and we go by recommendation, then rather come to the conclusion after a long turnaround by trying other names. And you know, everybody has right to make a choice. There are no hard and fast rules. But if you don't get tangible result, Prabhupada will say, please chant Hare Krishna in accepting a humble attitude. Right? So, the effectiveness or the efficacy of the holy name has been well described by Haridas Thakur in Harinam Chintamani. Well, he is asserting that due to our ignorance of the holy name, that is the efficacy of the holy name, we tend to either negate it, neglect it, or remain callous. That even though knowingly that it is the only resort that one has to take to mitigate all the problems of life, yet we put our ears over our eyes. It means we neglect, disregard. So this disregard is a kind of tight knot in the heart of living entities. Tight knot. It's called Hridaya Granthi. It is difficult to be smashed. But if we hear the glories, Shrunavatam Suktaham Krishna, if we hear the glories of the holy name, then the vidyate hridaya granthi chindyanti sarva samshaya. That is possible. It is the power of the holy name. But since we have not invested enough intelligence, enough endeavor, then it is difficult to take on right away. But keep on the association, it will generate faith, required faith. Now, Haridas Thakur further explains that because of this ignorance about the efficacy of the holy name, we tend to develop anarthas. Anarthas means unwanted thing in our life. When so many things that remain inflamed as our desires, because all of us have come to enjoy in the material world. Otherwise there was no other reason. And that too without Krishna.
So, this inflammation of the desires, unsatiable desires, it creates a stumbling block. That even though the body is maintained nicely, one is peaceful otherwise also, but these desires make him completely mesmerized under the term sense gratification and is simply miserable entity. It creates miseries around it. So, unwanted things in material life, they have been delineated. And generally, Kali first takes refuge in these unwanted things. That becomes our four regulative principles that we have to be free from, not to succumb to this. So, these are the principles of regulations that will prevent us to form a very secure guideline that we will not be able to become so easily attracted to the so-called sense gratification. Next thing is that there are still some proclivities which are governed by the modes of material nature that you have, we do not have any control over it. But the holy name, which builds up a kind of self-confidence within the heart, a kind of charging up with the determination, then naturally it will help us to progress further. Here, that is called anartha. Anartha nivritti is also to be done in association of the devotees. Alone we cannot do. Alone we can hide them. But we cannot mitigate. So, unless and until we are getting a kind of reaction to this anartha, then we will get some kind of, encouragement to get it resolved through the association of the devotees. But nonetheless, association is very needed in every step of our progress. Without association, there will not be actual strength or momentum. It will be not there. The last thing is the aparadhas. If we continue the ignorance and anarthas due to ignorance, then they manifest into aparadhas. And these aparadhas are done by aparadhis. Aparadhis means offenders. Offenders are antagonistic. So, antagonistic activities or ideas, they are like demons in our own mind. And actually, they are there and they make us fearful also. Otherwise, from within our own heart, we are seeking for peace, all different kinds of happinesses through association and through the interactions of the material world, in the society, etc. So, these fears have to be demolished. Lord Narasimhadev is playing an important part in smashing the demon-like desires from our heart, so we may become fearless in the struggle for existence. Actually, otherwise also it is a struggle. But sense gratification and anarthas, they add into the struggle. It's not an escapism or escaping method to avoid the struggle. But actually they add. It's like what they call icing on the cake. So it's like a sweet icing on the miserable cake. So the idea is that we need to be very much aware of these aparadhas. We recite every day 10 aparadhas, like parrot, but we have to become little introspective also. That these are the formidable enemies, the demons within our own mind that may manifest at opportunity it finds, and then it startles us. Then how did it come from my mind? Then we may try to give an excuse, oh, devil made me do it. But the devil was within you and you cultivated him. So we have to be very, very careful. The first and foremost aparadha, the mad elephant aparadha, we recite is first because it's number one. No one is greater than or equal to it. This aparadha is also called asamordhva. Asama means not equal. I mean, it is nobody is equal to it. There is nobody equal to it. It's called asama. Urdhva means greater than. And that is to blaspheme a devotee who has dedicated his life in propagating the holy name of the Lord. Why it is so big a aparadha? Krishna Shakti Vina Nahi Tara Pravartam. Without the potency of the Lord, one cannot preach the glories of the Holy Name. So, it is a direct insult to the Holy Name if one is minimizing the efforts of the Pravartan means spreading or distributing the holy name. One who has potency can preach. Everybody has potency if they chant regularly. For the sake of service to the holy name, the attitude is developed like that. It's not like a professional who is a reciter of the holy name, with ulterior aims of making profit, adoration and distinction. There is already a block for the potency. It is diverted into manifestation of profit, adoration and distinction. So therefore, it is not effective. But a devotee, by the nature, if he is preaching the glories of the holy name, there are no strings attached to it. No profit, no adoration, no distinction. And to blaspheme such a devotee, that is called Mahabhagavata. That is Mahabhagavata. And to blaspheme him, that is offensive. We can criticize or try to analyze the preachings of others who may not be that exemplary or may not be that effective in producing the results. That's for our knowledge. But it is not a blasphemy. The professional singers, they chant so many holy names. Even they chant Hare Krishna Mahamantra. Mayavadis also chant Hare Krishna Mahamantra. But they are not coming into the category of devotees or pure devotees who have taken up the mission of Srila Prabhupada without profit, adoration and distinction. So, in that case we have to be very careful. Right? So the idea is that because the potency is emanating from Lord Shri Krishna, the holy name itself, one cannot construe any meaning for himself or any results for himself. One cannot remain attached to it. So, one who is imbued in love of God through the holy name, he has done the greatest service. He has done the greatest service. To blaspheme such a person, criticize such a person, is very detrimental to anybody who is chanting the holy name. Whether he is a mature devotee, Madhyam Adhikari, or for Uttam Adhikari, there is some differences there. Because he is also on the same level. But sometimes if he says we don't have to take it as a criticism or blasphemy, rather it is to educate his followers that remain cautious, because otherwise this will bring you as a pitfall. Never criticize anyone. But to protect the glory of his own succession that comes from disciplic succession of the Acharya, he sticks to the verdict of Acharya and try to analyze that it does not befit us. So even though they are devotees, please don't get mixed up. So this is pretty important. When Srila Prabhupada has spoken something about his god brother, it is to understand the principle behind it, not to blaspheme. Some may take other way around, but it is not important to understand in that context. You know, it is not blaspheme. It is to protect the glory of the disciplic succession, and one should not deviate from it. So Prabhupada told devotees not to take shelter of his god brothers. Don't ask anything. If they say anything, one word different, the whole purpose will be failed. After all, the importance of the potency of the holy name is concerned, it has to be handed over, passed on very carefully. So the holy name may manifest in the heart as the personality. This personality is Lord Shri Krishna himself. Prabhupada would say that people may not know when they are chanting Hare Krishna, but Lord Krishna dances on his tongue. He sees vibration as dancing. That is the manifestation of Rupa, because the holy name produces Nama produces Rupa. Nama and Rupa, if they are properly served, then divine qualities, guna, will be produced. Nama, Rupa, Guna, when they are properly served, then Leelas manifest. On this foundation, we are supposed to understand the supreme activity of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, which are called Leelas. Otherwise, we have no right to enter into. It is very, very difficult otherwise that we may cut short and we may slip off. So, those temptations can be properly protected through disciplic succession, and such Mahabhagavatas are having the greatest responsibility to guide. So never blaspheme those who are propagating the holy name that way. The second offense is to consider the names of demigods like Lord Brahma or Shiva to be independent or equal to the name of Lord Vishnu. The Vedas, the Shastras, they say that Eko Bahushyam, one who manifested in many, the manifestations are qualitatively potent like the origin, but at the same time they are not equal or independent. The qualitatively oneness and potency will be there. Even up to an insignificant part and parcel called Jiva, he is also having the same potency if it properly comes into that atmosphere, the transcendental atmosphere. But somehow or another, when we talk of these superior entities other than the human, number 10th creation of Brahma is the demigods. So, to consider that they are the origin, or they have equal status, and there is no necessity to quibble around, you know, everybody is same, one, then we are mistaken in the fundamentals of the Vedic authority. Eko Bahushyam, one who manifested in many. So we are targeting that one. By the deliberation of all the acharyas, in the modern times, Shankaracharya, Ramanujacharya, Madhvacharya, Nimbag, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, everyone has put up that one particular ekam is Lord Shri Krishna, Dvitiya Nasti. So, how is it that those who are the expansions from him, first of all, they do not know how he is expanding, and yet they want to think that everybody is equal. Most of the Hindus, and in common sense of their pious adherents, know about only three guna avatars: Brahma, Vishnu, Mahesh. The Hindu trilogy. But they do not know what is beyond it. Beyond these guna avataras, there are purusha avataras. And there are three purusha avataras. They do not know. And these purusha avataras are also coming from the second quadruple expansion of Mahashankarshan in the Vaikuntha, on the transcendental realm. And these secondary quadruple expansions are also multitude in all the Vaikuntha planets they are existing. But central of all this Vaikuntha planet is Golok Vrindavan, where the first quadruple expansions are there, Vasudeva, Shankarshana, Pradyumna, and Ariruddha, and they all emanate from Krishna. So, the last word in the Bhagavan realization would come to Krishna. So the idea is that the acharyas have gone through very tight scrutinizing deliberations, and they gave us with all reasoning and with all references the conclusion that Lord Shri Krishna is the cause of all causes. So, how is it that the manifestations, their subsequent manifestations can become independent of him or equal to him. It's not. So, when you chant Hare Krishna Maha Mantra and then equate everybody, not knowing this efficacy of the holy name, then we doubt on the holy name. It's all right, I will also chant other mantras of Krishna. This is 16 word long, and we can have a short one, Om Namo Tate Vasudeva. It's also Krishna's anyway, but it is not recommended for this age of Kali. It's not. Then what to speak of chanting the demigod's name in the mantra forms? Everything is equal. Some people start chanting in one bead, one mala, all the mantras. It becomes a very unclear hodgepodge, and there is no discern, truth will be able achieved. So we have to serve the absolute truth in its innate, original way. That the way. That's why we have to take up the authority of the Shastra. The third offense is to disobey the orders of spiritual master. He has no other business than to propagate the holy name, to instill the efficacy of the holy name in his disciple by making sure that they are chanting and following four regulative principles. So, by serving the holy name, the form will be awarded to them, the divine qualities will be awarded to them. So, in that sense, when Divya Gyan, the divine qualitative knowledge about the absolute truth will be instilled in them, then the Diksha is fulfilled. But meanwhile, everybody deserves this chance to be regulated, to be encouraged, to push on and carry on. It manifests its own accord. What should we do? Chakshudana dilo jay janme janme prabhu se divya gyan ride prakashita. When it is said janme janme prabhu se, the spiritual master should be served and life after life, and then divya gyan will prakash. The Ritviks demand that he is not able to give even divya gyan. How is called guru? You think the guru is taking divya gyan in his pocket and moving around? No, it has to be practiced and manifest. But you have to have that conviction. And it will happen, because after all, the mercy of the Lord cannot be bribed. He is independent. Nobody can bribe him. Those who are dependent can be easily bribed. The relative term in the material world is everything is corrupt. Right? And when we talk of corruption, bribe also comes right in front. So, but the holy name, the Lord Krishna, cannot be twisted to favor with the mercy. He is independent, Swarat. So, the orders in relationship to the spiritual progress has to be the main aspect of our sadhana, and we have to observe that. Anything that is detrimental, then the guru is in question. Guru should be in question. But he has no other business. Seven, accept, serve the holy name. We read the activities of the guru as the Gurvastakam prayers by Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, you know, how he is engaged in the service of Lord Krishna, starting from the very beginning of the day. And why should we meditate on the lotus feet of such a spiritual master? Because not only he becomes an example, but at the same time he is also encouraging all others to follow in the same footsteps. So he becomes the representative, transparent representative via media keep our path of progress very clean and clear. No obstacles can be found there. So, to disobey the orders of spiritual master in that reference is detrimental, and the holy name takes the offense on its own head. Right? The fourth offense is to blaspheme the Vedic literature or literature in pursuance of the Vedic version. The Vedic version means contemporary literature which has been written on the verdict of the Vedic original books, the Vedas. The verdict is that if you see the development of the Vedas, there was one Veda, but Vyasadeva created four Vedas in order to be applicable to the different mentalities of the people, and they become proficient in them. But besides that, things have to be explained further by exemplification in the form of the stories or analogies, and that comes in the Puranas. But before that, Puranas are manifesting the personality aspect. But in between, the knowledgeability of impersonal aspect has to be explained through the Upanishads, out of which out of 108 Upanishads, Ishopanishad would tell us about the glimpse of personality. Then the Puranas come into existence. Because this is the gradual manifestation of the absolute truth from Shabda Brahman. The Shabda is Brahman itself. The holy name is Brahman itself. But it has to be manifested. So therefore, the Vedas and Vedic authority developed in that sequence. How Shabda was created? There was sky first. Right? The sky was created, and it was Lord Krishna who created the ethereal elements, earth, water, fire, air, ether. Ether means sky. But that sky is generating through the sound vibration, srotram. So in the beginning there was the word, and the word was Om. What was God? But that is Om. So the sound vibration is manifestation. Then the sense of hearing was generated. In this way, 24 elements have been created in order to manifest the sthula or manifested material energy. Then trigunas and the jivas intermixed with the desire of the Lord through the glance of Mahavishnu, it puts up the virata form of the Lord, the material form. And all different functionary aspects and everything has been created. The Vedas describe this so gradually that this becomes the primary focus for those who are the worshipper of Brahman, or that they have to glorify the Lord in these manifestative stages called Purusha Suktas. The Purusha Sukta mantras are there. It means as if from nothing something is being formed. The sky is an empty space, but the sound vibration was created. So the Shabda Brahman becomes the medium in the written form in Kali Yuga to convey the same aspect. So the verdict of the Vedic authority has to be followed very strictly, and to consider that there are the Vedas and the descriptions of the Puranas are mythology is an insult to the holy name. When our cerebral hemisphere is limited and cannot fathom even beyond our sense perception, we try to give a bad name, mythology. So that is nothing mythology. It is a very systematic development. If people who have stool in their brain, they cannot understand. But there is nothing mythology. This is the practical science and experiential proof that is being given by personal practice. So, those who are disbelievers, they have other reasons to hide. Those who are engrossed in sense gratificatory activities, they are not of Vedic civilization. They were not the part. They were termed to be mlechhas and yavanas outside of Vedic civilization. Because they wouldn't take the authority of the Vedas or the verdict of the Vedas. So that's for them. But any intelligent person can see how Vedas have been developed, evolved, and ultimately the manifestation of the personality and worship him and him alone was directed as a monotheistic principle. That is the process. People say, there are 33 million demigods and so many things are there. Oh, everybody is same. It's confusing. Yeah, you don't have enough brain. Your brain is overcrowded by the information. So it gives confusion. You have too many colliding thoughts. So, anyway, for them, let them remain in the mystery or mythology. When we can experience the potency of the holy name through the verdict of the Vedic authority, then if we blaspheme the Vedas themselves, then holy name itself takes the offense and can choke our progress. The fifth offense is to consider chanting Hare Krishna Mahamantra to be imagination. That's another stupid idea of a materialistic brain. That if he cannot understand, he can easily term it it is imagination. First of all, such a person is already in hallucination. And hallucinating person can imagine. Right? But a practitioner of chanting Hare Krishna Mahamantra cultivates the awareness, the consciousness of Lord Shri Krishna, so he is not under any illusion. Even though he may not know so many things, but his awareness increases. More the awareness increases, more he is realized. More he becomes realized. For a realized person, is there any illusion remaining? No. So therefore, we should understand that these are excuses of a coward, that he thinks that, oh, it's an imagination. He doesn't want to chant Hare Krishna. When we say, chant, 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 and he's the only one who will tell you, can't, can't, can't. Because he's under illusion. Right? The complacency in chanting is that he's under illusion. So, he can babble any words out, imagination. And he is already on the platform of imagination. He does not know anything but imagination. Right? So, we should not consider chanting of Hare Krishna Maha Mantra as imagination. If it is imagination, why should it have been prescribed in the Yajurveda section of Kali Santarini Upanishad? To tell us definitely three times that besides this, there is no better or equivalent remedy to cross over the ocean of false Kali. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Ram, 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 Hare Hare. Iti shodushakam nam, nam kalikalmashanashanam. Paratara upaya sarva vedeshu nadrashyate. Nadrashyate. Do you think Brahma is blind? Narad Muni who listens, is he blind? No. We are blind. That even though it is written, yet we can't get through. The sixth offense is also another star by stupid brain, and that is called to give interpretation to the holy name of the Lord. To interpret. Prabhupada said interpretation is required when you cannot understand direct meaning. Alright? But people who have some academic qualification, they start taking up the authority by their degree only. They assume the authority that they know whatever it is. If they are having some kind of knowledgeability about impersonal aspect, then they will criticize the personal aspect and they give different misinterpretation to the holy name and anything related to them. Srila Prabhupada speaks about this in the very first sloka of Bhagavad Gita, Dharma Kshetre Kurukshetre Samaveta Yuyutsava Mamaka Pandavascheva Kima Kurvata Sanjaya. Oh, Dharma Kshetra. This Mayavadis, they will say, Dharma Kshetra means the body. See, Krishna is telling about Kshetra Kshetragya. Baba, Dharma Kshetra is still existing called Kurukshetra. It's on the north Indian railway, northern Indian railway. It is a track and it is a place of pilgrimage. It was established by Guru himself. He wanted to cultivate this land by sowing the seed of his virtues. So people can rip off virtues and make the whole land virtuous. Dharma virtues, the following principles of religion. He was cultivating. Then if this body, are we cultivating anything in the body? Virtuous principle? It's a wishful thinking. When you are in mode of ignorance, it will be too tough for you to cultivate the virtues. Unless and until one chants the holy name of the Lord, there are no virtues coming forward. Harava abhaktasya kuto mahadguna. What kind of virtues are there in the embodiment of a non-devotee? Narad Muni says that. He does not have any good, neither he will yield any tangible result. He doesn't gain anything. One who does not chant the holy name of the Lord. Yasyasti bhaktir bhagavati akinchana sarva gunai tatra samasate suraha. All the good qualities of all the demigods, 33 million demigods, will be residing in the embodiment of a devotee, a pure devotee, akinchan. But harav abhaktasya kuto mahadguna. Manorathena asati dhavato bahi. He is simply dreaming, wishful thinking, riding in on the chariot of his mind. Eccentric person. An eccentric person are called mad. Do you believe them? So, you can't trust. If one thinks that he can, by his academic qualification, he can enter into intricacy of Krishna Leela and start interpreting in his own way, you know, without any reference to the teachings of bhakti, because that is the sum and substance or the entire background that holds Krishna's super excellent pastimes. So the idea is that to give some mundane interpretation to the holy name, it's also an offensive act. Prabhupada quotes that, oh, the body is Kurukshetra and the hand is supposed to do the activities, so the five fingers are like five Pandavas. And who is Krishna? Oh, he is not, he is impersonal. So there we go. He becomes totally agnostic, mayavadi, Krishnera aparadi. So in the very first way, you know, by making such an hideous attempt to interpret, even though they don't have any access to it. So we have to be careful about that offense. The seventh offense is to commit sinful activities on the strength of the holy name of the Lord. One cannot, again, twist the holy name of the Lord to give him liberty to do anything and everything. Sometimes devotees have this kind of mentality, and Prabhupada, one time in a conversation, you know, went there. When we are told to chant 16 rounds, and we give commitment, but we do not serve the holy name properly, because we have so many floating thoughts and everything around us, and as if the time constraintment is there, well, I'm supposed to finish the rounds, but, you know, it takes so long, and when one is able to finish the round, then he takes a deep breath of sigh. He said, Prabhupada holds up his feet and thumps on the desk. He said, now I have finished my rounds, I can do any damn thing.
And what does this damn thing means? Yeah. Well, Prabhupada is very exemplary to tell us that don't go. It will be very destructive. It may turn into a sinful activity which will cause you bondage. Once you are trying to get purified by the holy name and then commit sinful activities, is just like taking the shower of an elephant. Saucha kunjaravat. You take a clean bath in the clear waters of the holy name. Then, when you come out, you throw the dirt of the material nature over, like an elephant taking bath. Clean water, as soon as he comes out, he starts looking for dirt and smear. So, that's an offense. The purpose of purification is nullified by the sinful activities, and that too on the strength of holy name. We should refrain. Number 8 is to consider chanting Hare Krishna Maha Mantra to be one of the auspicious ritualistic ceremony offered in the Vedas. Pancharatriki Vidhi that we are going to perform is not a ritualistic ceremony. Because it is in connection to the holy name, serving holy name with a sankalpa for the pleasure of the Lord, it becomes yajna. Real yajna is not a ritualistic performance. There is no hidden agenda besides pleasure of the Lord. If it is some business transaction, if I take initiation, then I can become president of this temple. So, you never know. Sometimes we can have, we may have many, many different ideas flopping out, you know. No, this is not ritualistic ceremony for any ulterior material benefit. Karma Kand offers you that. And it's a short term prayer, a short-term result-yielding activity, is called karmakanda. It may give immediate results. So what? In terms of our insignificant existence in this material world and the lifespan that we have, it is nothing in front of eternity and eternal occupation that we are going to establish as be there. It's an eternal occupation. Chanting Hare Krishna Mahamantra will take us to the eternal activity of the soul that we had once upon a time with Lord Krishna in Golok Vrindavan and set back into that eternity mode, from temporary mode to the eternity mode. And this is the only occupation the soul will have. Nothing else. And do you think it is ritualistic activities like karmakanda, a temporary benefit giving to the body, mind, and ego? Some people do big ritualistic ceremonies just to keep up their status quo, ego. And chanting Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, we have to smash our ego. Completely an opposite activity. How could it be a karmakand? Okay. Number 9 is to instruct a faithless person about the glories of the holy name. Devotees take great risk to find out whether this guy is an atheist or not. You know? They fearlessly go to him and start preaching the glories of the holy name. But as soon as they find out, give them book or prasad and get away from. You know, one should not over endeavor to preach the glories of the non-believers. Because The holy name is not that cheap. The holy name is bestowing its mercy on its own accord. So we cannot forcefully give to anybody. Holy name should not be wasted. Should not be wasted. We shouldn't chant in vain. This has been told in, even in Bible. It's an offense. We may take risk, a calculated risk. That's about it. As soon as we find out, then this guy is an atheist, you know. The seed of devotion is not going to grow. He has a stone-like heart. How much water are you going to pour on the seed that you're going to invest on the stone surface? It will be simply a waste. So, in that sense, we should not devalue the importance of the holy name. It is not to be whimsically thrown anywhere and everywhere. There is a Hindi bhajan, so-called bhajan, Hari Naam ke Heere Moti Main Bikhraun Gali Gali. Remember that? Have you heard that? We are not supposed to be throwing anywhere and everywhere, it will not grow. We have to be very careful and respectful to the holy name itself. So we have to be aware of this offense. Then are we wasting? Are we insulting the holy name? Generally it is advised that one who is a preacher should go in a company. Never go alone. So if there is some strong opposition or then we need protection. Right? So just to preserve the glory of the holy name, we have to get out from that. It's not a retreat that we are doing, but it's not conducive for the purpose of preaching. The tenth offense is also important. It is said that even after understanding the glories of the holy name, and we keep on material attachments for sense gratification, then again it is also having the same kind of effect like Sauch Kunjarvat, because what is attachment to the sense gratification is detrimental to the spiritual holy name, because it will become ineffective. It will not produce a conducive environment for our own sake. The previous one was to not to preach the glories to the atheist. But if we are having the inclination of sense gratification, even after understanding so many instructions in this matter, how to gradually subside? It is by cultivating the sense of detachment. If we attach to Krishna more, we naturally will become detached to sense gratification. Right? It means instead of progressing, we don't want to progress, or our so-called devotional service comes at standstill. Do you think a stagnant water will be always remain fresh? It stinks, isn't it? Bhakti is a continuous flow. And flow is progressing flow. So, this detrimental situations, bhakti has capacity to break the barriers that comes
as hindrances. Because all the power, all the potency is generating from the holy name. So it is very important that we should not be obstinate to continue sense gratification. Rather, everything is restricted in Krishna consciousness just to serve Krishna. That much engagement in the material activity is welcome. Is not contrary to the religious principles. Otherwise, Bhogeshwarya prasaktanam taya prata chetasam vyavasayatmika buddhi samadhavna vidhiyate. We lose that intelligence if we continue in sense gratificatory activities. Krishna consciousness should not be tainted by sense gratificatory activities. So that is the aim. And over and above, it's also offensive to be inattentive while chanting the holy name. Because this inattentiveness means either carelessness, purposely, you know, hide those vices in ourselves, and we do not try to remove those hindrances, you know. And we think that we will keep on chanting. After all, if the holy name is going to be his own, that means he's independently going to shower his mercy, then we have to think twice. Alright, we are in shadow right now here. And you are in sunlight. The holy name is like sunlight directly. If I am remaining in the shadow, means I should not speak long. If I am remaining in shadow, I am not getting the full mercy of the holy name. Holy name is like unimpeded sunlight. And the clouds are considered, or the shade is considered like anarthas. So sense gratification is anartha, like that. And inattentiveness comes that if we have too many thoughts of sense gratification colliding, it will take away our attention. So that chanting will be clouded, and we will not get the direct mercy of the sunlight. So by removing these anarthas and inattentiveness, it means we prefer to make our own effort by our own will, independent will, to go and sit in the sunlight. Make an effort on our own. So soon the sunlight coming from the fire sacrifice will begin, and we will have no more shadow.